This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Here we go. Hour three, G-Bag Nation 105 through the fan. We are still standing by for an update on Dak Prescott here on your home of the Cowboys there with the hamstring injury. Brian, what's the latest as far as a timeline on when this news could come out?
Yeah, it's I'm still working on some things. I kind of reached out to a couple other people that I know that are working on it too. So hopefully here, like I said, by the end of our show, I'm not saying maybe 7 o'clock, but maybe in the next hour or so,
okay,
this thing we might have a more clarification of really what happened.
It is a back to work Wednesday, and we have a number of Cowboys storylines to update, but of course none bigger than Dak Prescott. If he misses a couple of games, I think you have one win a projection, and if he misses the rest of the games, then I think even going winless the rest of the season is, you know, a legitimate prediction, but we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. It is also a Mavs game night as Bobby Corella, All City Dallas, joining you now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm watching the Mavs struggle through their own wave of injuries. So what the heck is going on, guys?
Yeah. Well, what do you have for us the latest with those? It's a trio of them, right, to be watching?
Yeah, so P.J. Washington, kind of another surprise appearance on the injury list for tonight's game against the Bulls. Derek Lively was a really late scratch the other night, and I don't really think anyone saw that coming either. And so, you know, that's your best center and really kind of your only active power forward. Maxi Kleb has also been out all season, and Dante Exum's been out. So, you know, we spent all offseason thinking, man, the Mavs are really deep like that. It's so much talent to their starting lineup and Klay Thompson, and then you get, you know, this wave of defenders coming in off the bench to help you up the intensity on that end of the floor too. And, you know, all of a sudden a week and a half in the season, we're kind of looking around like what happened to all the depth. So, you know, the next couple of weeks are really tough stretch of schedule, and hopefully these injuries don't linger until then. But if it does, I mean, their work is going to be cut out for them.
Now, speaking of that, tonight's game, in light of these injuries, I saw the point spread still heavily favors Dallas. Do you expect victory tonight, even though these injuries are starting to weigh them down?
I mean, the Bulls aren't a very good team. You know, they've gotten off to, I think, a better start than some people expect. And I guess from the Mavs' vantage point, the one kind of saving grace is the Bulls' strength lies in their backcourt. Guys like Coby White, you know, they just traded for Josh Giddey. But, you know, they have a lot of guards. They don't have necessarily a lot of effective size in the way that, say, Houston did, whenever Houston was just able to pulverize the Mavs on the offensive glass. And so, tonight, if you're down Washington, if you're down Lively, it's two of your best defenders, two of your most athletic players. It shouldn't, in theory, hurt you as much as it did against the Rockets and, you know, missing Lively against the Pacers. But, you know, we'll see. Games are played on the floor. And, you know, unfortunately for the Mavs, defensive intensity has been a big source of concern in each of their three losses so far. And they're missing two of their best defenders tonight. So, you know, other people are going to have to pick up the slack.
What have been the early returns with the Klay Thompson defense and specifically when he's there with Luka and Kyrie together?
I've been impressed with Klay's individual effort on defense. You know, I was expecting, he kind of heard horror stories from Warriors fans about his effect on that side of the floor last year, but, you know, he's been pretty good. He's been diving on the floor. He's caused some turnovers. He's held his own whenever he's been switched off onto bigger players, and that's happened a lot. You know, the Mavs are switching more on defense this year than they did last year. which I like to see personally, but that's only good if, you know, your stars can hold their own when they switch. And Clay has, you know, Kyrie's been a little hit or miss. Luka has been a little more hit or miss than Kyrie has in that respect. But, you know, Clay has held his own, and that's really important because, you know, again, even if PJ Washington is healthy, which he is not right now, he will not be available, but even if he is, the Mavs only have three or four guys in their rotation that are taller than 6'5", you know, and so they need these big-bodied wings to be able to defend these bigger twos, the threes, the fours in the league, you know, that you could kind of count on Derrick Jones to defend last season. Clay is now picking up a lot of those assignments, at least early in games, and he has been pretty good there. You know, if anything, I would say the bigger adjustment for Clay has been on the offensive end. When he's playing with Luka, he's not getting as many shots maybe as Mavs fans might have expected. He's getting plenty of shots when he's out there with Kyrie, you know, when it's just them two. But when it's the big three out there, you know, you can still kind of see everybody feeling each other out. You know, where does he like the ball? How can they get him involved? And I think a lot of that will resolve itself in time as they get more used to playing each other. And also, you know, hopefully as Luka kind of busts out of his slump and everything comes easier for him.
Yeah, what do you make of the Luka slump right now? Any concern level whatsoever? Is this just rust coming with little training camp? Or what do you think it is?
Well, I hope it's just rust. I mean, I know I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. You know, we're not used to seeing this. You know, and his three-point shot has come back the last few games. You know, the first four or five games of the year, he was really bad from beyond the arc, you know, below 30%. And that's not what we're used to seeing from him. You know, normally he's like closer to 38, 39%. Last couple games, he shot it pretty well. But the one area that is really kind of still lagging behind what we're used to seeing from him is these shots around the rim. Mm-hmm. You know, not necessarily layups, but these little floaters, the runners. He's so good at turning those little bumps into and ones. But, you know, one play that really kind of sticks out in my memory from the Pacers game the other night is he's able to beat his man, get to the basket, draw contact right around the rim, and he just misses like a 3 or 4 foot banker. And instead of it becoming an and one, he goes to the free throw line and misses both free throws.
Yeah.
And so a layup turned into an 0 for trip down the floor. And that's just really demoralizing and deflating. And, you know, normally he's 50, 60% on those shots. This year, he's sub 40% on those shots. And, you know, that will eventually correct itself. But until it does, you know, he's missing out on, you know, 2 or 4 or sometimes even 6 points per game. And that can really hurt you in as many close games as they've had so far.
Bobby Corella with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You know, sticking with the offense, and Luka probably has a little bit to do with this, but you look at their offensive category numbers, they're like middle of the road across the NBA. And I know Jason Kidd's brought up the ball movement. What do you think about that? And then just overall the offensive struggles outside of Luka?
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of tough, right? Because we expected, you know, J. Kidd was talking about trying to implement some triangle principles, and the Mavs have a little bit, you know, and they're moving the ball. They've had a few good possessions of ball movement, but it's really hard to separate, you know, in my mind at least, how much of what's going on is everyone trying to get used to each other and how much is just Luka trying to shoot himself out of a slump. You know, sometimes whenever, especially your superstars are going through funks like he is, you know, they're just going to try and shoot themselves out of it. You know, and so sometimes that means maybe playing a little selfish or maybe calling your own number a little bit. And I'm not alleging that Luka is like a selfish guy or anything. He had 15 assists the other night against Indiana. Like, he's still passing the ball plenty, but, you know, I think once he starts shooting well, you know, he's going to feel better. He's going to be playing better. And then also that's going to demand more attention from the defense, you know, and opponents this season are double teaming and blitzing Luka in the pick and roll way less than they did last year. Last year, he was blitzed more times in the pick and roll than the second and third most blitzed players combined. This year, he's being blitzed like once or twice a game in the pick and roll. So, you know, the Mavs are not playing as much 4-on-3. And obviously in those situations, there's going to be a lot more ball movement. You know, teams are just switching. They're playing 1-on-1. They're daring Luka and Kyrie to be scorers. And when that's the case, there's really no advantage to be had by passing the ball. You kind of have to beat your man off the dribble, and that can take some time. And then you're late in the shot clock to where passing becomes dangerous. So, you know, I think as Luka heats up, he'll feel better. Defenses will have to adjust, and I think you'll see a little more ball movement.
Bobby, what do you think about the availability aspect of Derek Lively's career so far? Is there any injury concern long-term in there for you?
Yeah, he missed, what, something like 30 games last year. Now, granted, some of them were on freak injuries. I think one time You know, he was rolling to the basket. Luka hit him with a no-look pass, and some blazer, like, undercut him, and he missed five or six games. There was another time he was hanging on the rim in L.A. or dunked, and kind of someone undercut him, and he fell on his back weird. And, you know, so in some respects, you know, he's just been a little bit unlucky. You know, but it is a bummer. Obviously, I mean, he has been, in my opinion, maybe their best or most effective player so far this season. And so, you know, they need to keep him on the floor. And, you know, Mavs fans are clamoring for him to start or play more minutes or whatever the case is. But, you know, what you don't want to do, kind of the same way we see with Maxi Kleba, is, you know, if a guy is, for whatever reason, you know, just unlucky enough to keep getting injured, then you don't want to necessarily give him 35 minutes a game because you're going to expose him to a lot more risk. So, you know, if minutes management is going to have to be a thing for him to you know, to get him through the regular season, at least until, you know, with age, he can kind of fill out his frame a little more, add some more beef to his body and, you know, be able to withstand some of that punishment a little better, then, you know, that might have to be the case. But hopefully it isn't. You know, hopefully when he comes back from this, he can give him 70 straight games and, you know, we don't have to worry about it at all. But in the meantime, yeah, I mean, you know, the most important ability is availability. And, you know, I know it's of the utmost importance for them to be able to keep him on the floor.
I think his local comp right now might be the Jungle Cat, Josh Young. We're like, is he injury prone? Is he just unlucky? He's so important to the team. Please, God, stay healthy, dude. We need you big time. Najee Marshall over Derrick Jones Jr. That's feeling like an upgrade.
Offensively, you know, in terms of dynamic skill, absolutely. You know, he is a really, really good ball handler, good playmaker. He's had probably their two coolest lob passes of the season, and that's saying a lot on a team that where Luka runs point guard. You know, that mid-court alley-oop the other night against Orlando was just amazing. And then in the last game against Indiana, he comes out, he goes 8-for-9, hits two threes. You know, and I'm assuming he's going to get a lot of playing time tonight without Washington in there. But, yeah, he's been really good, man. He's been really good. When Luka or Kyrie's out of the game, you know, we saw it last season, even as they went to the finals, you know, sometimes this team hurts for little playmaking. So to be able to have another 6'6", 6'7", 6'8 guy, with a little beef, a little size, a little strength, some sturdiness going downhill, and, you know, the court vision and creativity to make some pretty cool passes. You know, that keeps the offense humming, you know. And I was a little worried about his fit playing alongside both Luka and Kyrie. You know, I thought that he would maybe be best with only one of them so that he could assume more playmaking duties and not be relegated to just kind of a spot-up shooter playing off those guys. But he was fantastic in that game against Indy. I mean, he played a lot of minutes down the stretch playing alongside Luka and Kyrie and was able to make defensive plays and turn them into offense. So, yeah, give me more minutes for the Knife, man.
Hey, Bobby, you know, you live with that team and you know all about it. Let me ask you this, though. When your experience, how long does it take, like, a new player to usually get acclimated? Like, you know, in Clay's situation, is there kind of a rule in basketball that, you know, hey, it's 15 games, 10 games? What is there some that basketball people always kind of look at, a number?
I think every situation is so unique. You know, like, if a guy's bounced around a little bit, he's probably a little more used to change. But Clay's been with one team his entire career. You know, spent his entire career playing with Steph Curry. Now, granted, they played a different style under Mark Jackson than they did under Steve Kerr, but yeah. Clay's basically been playing improv basketball for 10 straight years with a lot of movement, a lot of freewheeling, a lot of creativity, a lot of sprinting off screens, you know, and then to come to Dallas where everything is a little more regimented, you know, maybe a little more stagnant. I'm not saying the Mavs are stagnant. They're actually moving a lot more than they did last year, but, you know, certainly more stagnant than he was in Golden State. You know, it is kind of an adjustment, you know, but they've installed some plays for him. I thought they ran a nice little out of bounds play for him the other day against Indy, and he, you know, they have been looking for him in transition when he's on the move and he can just fly into those threes, and he's been pretty good there too. So, you know, I would say for him and for most guys, a month, you know, a month and a half.
Sure.
But also, you know, one thing that Tim Cato, who's on the show with me over at DLLS, one thing he mentioned is Clay historically, you know, through the month of November, has the lowest splits of any month in his career. Like, he heats up as the season goes on, kind of like Reggie Bullock did for Mavs fans that remember him. So, yeah. You know, maybe for Clay, it just takes a month no matter what. But, you know, I would fully expect him to get a little more comfortable. But again, it's not just on him to adjust. I think it's on Luka and Kyrie to, you know, make it a point to find him early in games to see what he's got. Because, I mean, dude, if that guy comes out and hits two or three threes in the first quarter, the defense is going to do some really freaky stuff. And that is going to make life a lot easier on Luka and Kyrie.
How about Quentin Grimes and him trying to get implemented and figure things out? I mean, offensively, I understand that could take some time for him. But defensively, I was really hoping he would just be a pest.
Me too. I was really surprised, honestly, that he didn't get more minutes in that Pacers game. You know, the Mavs went small for virtually the entire second half. I mean, I think they played PJ or Najee at center for like 20 out of those 24 minutes. And Grimes got maybe 1 or 2 minutes in the second half. It was a lot of three-guard lineup, a lot of Spencer Dinwiddie in there. You know, we've seen Jaden Hardy kind of enter and exit the rotation a couple different times this season. But Dinwiddie is getting those minutes right now. And, you know, I think that Grimes is a much better defender than Dinwiddie. You know, he's obviously not the playmaker or ball handler that Dinwiddie is. But in those lineups, if you have Luka and Kyrie and Najee Marshall, I don't really think you need another ball handler. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you need better on-ball defense, more tenacious perimeter defense. You know, we saw the Pacers in the second half kind of just ruthlessly targeting Luka, Kyrie, and Dinwiddie, mm-hmm. you know, taking turns just getting layups. They had 76 points in the paint in that game because the Mavs had no rim protection behind those guys, and they were all just getting beat one-on-one, you know, for the entire second half. The Pacers had 28 points in the paint in the fourth quarter in that game. I mean, it was really, really frustrating. So, you know, I would like to see him get more minutes, if nothing else, just for his defense. You know, offensively, he is much more of just kind of a spot-up corner shooter than Clay is, you know, and so I think it's a lot easier to just throw him out there. He doesn't have to be necessarily as familiar with play calls or concepts as Clay is. You know, I want to see more minutes from him, and hopefully that'll come, especially in light of all the injuries right now.
Bobby, they have so many good players. I know we got to go, but I mean, this rotation could literally be everybody that's active, you know, so roster construction wise, do you think this shapes up as a stand pat year where, you know, 40 games in, we're going to say no trades, or do you think that like some consolidation 2-for-1, 3-for-1, if you could get the right player, is going to be a priority as we head towards 2025?
Honestly, I think with as guard heavy as they are, they're hoping that one of their guards pops enough to where they can maybe swap for a wing. I mean, I personally think this team needs more perimeter size. You know, I've said it on this station for like 5 years. You can never have enough wings. You know, give me a 6'8 guy that can switch and guard multiple positions. And, you know, when this team is healthy, they have 3 or 4 of them, but a bunch of them are out right now. You know, PJ, Maxey, Derek Lively, they're all out. And so this team is very, very guard heavy right now. And that is a problem. You know, you can survive that for 2 games or a week or something. But if this is going to be extended absences, and in Maxey and unfortunately Lively's case, you know, those absences usually are extended, then all of a sudden you do have a real problem on your hands. And so, you know, they don't have necessarily the most tradable contracts in the world, and they don't have the most picks in the world either. So it is going to be pretty tough to make a deal. But, you know, I think with some of the expirings that they have and some of the guys on some low numbers that they have, there is a trade to be made. You know, if another team that's maybe too wing heavy needs a guard, all of a sudden you can be dance partners. But, you know, the real problem for the Mavs is that every other team in the West seemingly is struggling with injuries and slow starts too. So, you know, I don't think anybody's just going to make a decision to tank or, you know, reshuffle the deck chairs or whatever until at least, you know, December, January, and then as we get into the deadline season.
Bobby Carella, All City Dallas, thank you so much, man. Awesome work.
Thank you, guys.
Salute. Must follow there for Mavs fans everywhere. And we'll have more Mavericks discussion coming up a little bit later on in the show. It is a Mavs game night. Well, Chuck, what do we have next?
Well, speaking of a Mavs game night, it's also Nacho Day, baby. Oh. National Nacho Day. Who doesn't love nachos? Top 10 best nacho spots in Dallas. Where's your go-to spot? That's
want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Next.
Welcome back and salute to Rob in Funky Town. He just dealt Eric Chiafalo a massive blow in our first annual G-Bag weight loss competition, sending us a couple of pizzas. I looked over in the break room. It looked like Chief was trying to eat three pieces at the same time.
Oh, you caught that?
Yeah.
Did the old stack, you know, stack it up. You feel like you're still eating one slice when they're all stacked up on top of each other.
Many did you get in that break?
That was a triple.
Look at that.
Triple slice.
What a machine.
Commercial break.
And it is time now for the top 10 at 420.
That's awesome.
Smothered in garlic.
A segment here of the nation is
cheese stuffed. Yeah.
Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate stuff today at carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. Very apropos. Yeah. And here's Zach Wolchuk, the Woolly Bully, Zach with an H, the top 10.
Thank you very much. Happy National Nacho Day. We'll get to our nachos here in just a moment. 877-881-1053. What are the best nachos? Where are the best nachos? And how do you like your nachos? But SMU football today just scheduled a matchup. The 2026 season at Notre Dame in South Bend. So we'll get the Ponies versus the Fighting Irish.
I think the last time they went to South Bend was the year or two after the death penalty.
I bet you're right.
Oh, they probably got clobbered.
I think they went to South Bend and they got clobbered, yeah.
Is it a home and home? Or are we going to get them here?
I just saw 2026
the Big D
at Notre Dame.
All right, well.
That'd be cool.
Guess not a home and home.
That'd be cool if we get him in Dallas.
I'm sorry. This is a squirrel moment, but Woody Page has some, like,
oh my gosh,
Elton John glasses on here.
Goodbye.
And the turtleneck. This is it. He looks like he's an author.
Yeah, this is an incredible look for Woody. Right now?
He didn't start. He didn't have him on to start the day.
He kind of looks like he's morphing into Jamie Lee Curtis.
Maybe is it Halloween?
I don't know.
He is.
Like a mime.
The same way Mark Cuban is morphing into Rachel Maddow, Woody Page is morphing into
Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah, that's good for Woody, I guess. I mean, he's got to be doing a bit. He's got to be a bit. Look at him right now. Nobody else can see this, but he's squinting and staring at the camera with a very mean, puzzling look on his face as Frank Isola just talks. This has to be something that they're doing.
I think Woody's going to get the win today. He did.
Look at the smile with those fake teeth.
That's what you got to do. You got to go all in.
They need to send Bob Ryan.
Victory.
Send Bob Ryan over to Woody Page's teeth guy.
It's amazing. Okay, last time. 1989,
yeah.
Notre Dame and SMU.
I think that was after the death penalty.
Irish beat them 59-6.
Yeah.
Before that, they played in 1986. They actually played for a while. They had a nice little back and forth going. But 2026 in South Bend, SMU will go take on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Other news of note in the college sports world, we did get the Gundy apology.
Oh, no, did he?
Was this one kind of a half-ass one? Because all he did was take to Twitter at Coach Gundy. Says, I apologize to those who my comments during Monday's media call offended. My intent was not to offend any of our fans who have supported us in this program through the years. This was after he said that basically they can't take care of their own families. Not basically, this is what he said.
He said
they're not
that,
taking care of their own family. They're not taking care of their own job, but they have an obligation to speak out and complain about others because it makes them feel better.
Yeah, and he was complaining about the fans while he was doing that. Yeah. I thought it was rich with irony and a little hypocrisy, Wolchuk.
Really,
but hey, coaches under fire, they're in a rough place. You know, they might lash out. You know, they'll try to rein it back in, and the best ones do. Best ones don't lash out, but most do.
All right, let's talk nachos. Best nachos you guys have ever gotten in DFW. We did get a vote for Katy Trail Ice House from 469. Those nachos are fantastic.
We had those. We were doing a thing with Jared one time over there, right? Didn't we order a bunch of those nachos?
We did. And then actually the second stop after the Bobby and Will fight where Bobby bailed at the Plano Katy Trail, actually we had some nachos over there as well. They were delectable.
You guys did not like the trash can nachos that from the place in Vegas,
You know, it's not that we didn't like them. We were told not to get them.
Yeah,
the lady, you didn't get them
right there at the front. The host lady, when we walked up, we were looking at the menu. We were checking the price of the Guy Fieri trash can nachos.
We were all ready
to sample them. And then she was like, "You know, it's really hitting this. It depends on who's back there. Some nights they're dialed. Other nights you're scrambling for cheese on a dry chip." And so we didn't take that chance. We went instead, spent $75 for three fish and chips, like literally three little fish.
Was that a Gordon Ramsay deal?
It was Ramsay's fish and chips. Yeah. It was very good.
It was like $100.
Gosh, is the stuff overpriced.
I kind of told you the beef Wellington for what I spent was not good.
You did say that. Yeah, you did say that, which is heartbreaking because that's one of his signature
dishes. We'll go to some fun places in New Orleans with the
Super Bowl. I'm looking forward to that.
What are your must-have on the nachos, other than just hopefully great coverage all the way around?
Chips that can withstand some weight.
Okay, there you go. Vitality on the
good strong chip.
If you have chips, if I'm reaching in there and the chip breaks as I'm getting it, and then all the stuff falls off, it's no good to me.
Well, you know what's actually become great is the individual nacho, like the individual chip that they've got the topping on. Each one, so you're getting like six of them.
Oh, I see.
The rounds are really good for that.
Yeah, put
down a little bean there, put a little meat. Yeah,
those have actually been a game changer for me.
You get like eight chips, but they're all completely covered.
Yes, and it's a good sized chip, so they're not just like giving you a shortage of food.
I'm going to say, you know, one that I think is mandatory that people might not think of is the cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a terrific spice.
Gives it a little heat.
Big cilantro guy. Yeah. Lucius, with the nachos?
Yeah, so I don't know where they get good nachos because when I go to Mexican restaurants, I don't eat nachos. I usually get chimichangas or something like that.
Yeah.
But Los Lupes, I've had good nachos over there before. And they do have the individual chip situation.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's a good situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like I like a steak nacho.
I
love chicken as well, or ground beef, but like
pulled pork.
Yes, I'll double it up. Got to have the jalapenos as well, because you get additional crunch and spice there.
Okay, are they nachos if there's no cheese involved?
No. What are you talking about?
Because I was looking at first doing like top 10 nacho toppings, and cheese was on there. I'm like, well, duh. And it wasn't
even
number one.
I think that's where the CH in nacho comes from.
Yeah, I don't think you can have nachos without the cheese. What are we doing?
I don't think it'd be
chips with cake, like sour
queso
and
you know, melted. And, you know, I'm thinking like the Mexican cheese blend, you know, in the green bag there.
Right.
That's what
poor cheese blend.
But you could also go with queso. You know, and for me, Wolchuk, I don't think it's that close. It's official. The best nachos in the entire world are at Hurtado's.
Hurtado's nachos are absolutely divine. They are.
The smoke that they get on that brisket is perfect.
Those brisket nachos.
You're having a barbecue meal and the best possible nachos at the same time.
Yeah, and they're not skimping on the brisket there either, which I do appreciate.
Don't let the chip get wet. That's another one.
Wet, the soggy chips. That's not a good one.
Again, it's got to be able to hold that stuff together and not be wet and soggy.
I am queso cheese, though, over the, you know, melted shredded or whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm here for both.
It's a little fancier.
I do prefer the
The gooiness.
Yeah.
I like the gooiness of real cheese, actually. You know, and I love queso, too. I'm not opposed to either.
Right.
One.
I'm the same way. It's not like a full stop situation, but I do prefer the drizzle.
I think to Brian's point, the queso can make the chips a little soggy.
That's what I'm saying. If you pick up the chip and it does the bend like a chocolate chip, a hot chocolate chip cookie where it just bends, it's doing me no good.
You don't want it to get floppy.
Yeah, you don't want it to be all bendy and floppy.
Now I need a fork for it, basically. Yeah. Not good.
I'll tell you what, I have eaten nachos with a fork.
Sometimes I've done that before. Sometimes you got to get messy if there's chili on
there. I've done that. I know it's probably not the right way to do it, but
Certainly off-putting and a bit disrespectful.
The 901 has a great point, though. Why not both? You know, you could have a bowl of queso.
You could
have melted, shredded.
That's actually not a bad idea. Yeah. You have the bowl, because I really think it's less of a chip problem and more of a melted cheese problem. Like the queso cheese is inevitably going to do that to just about any chip. If it's sitting in there, it's going to soften up. But if you have the side bowl of it, now you have the shredded cheese melted on your nachos. And at any point, you can dip it and double down on the cheese.
Because some of those chips might not have good coverage on the shredded.
That's what I'm saying.
Now you got the queso.
Yeah, this is the best of both worlds.
If you're making nachos and you don't have complete coverage, and I know you're talking about the individual ones, which is time consuming to make, but it gets the complete coverage. I can't. I don't want to dip in there and pull out a chip.
Just like a chip. It's
like
a terrible
I'm eating.
Now you have that side queso to kind of solve that problem. Okay. So I think we just hacked the system.
Let me ask you this:
system.
Have you guys ever pulled the chip out, nothing on it, and gone back in?
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
scraped off the top.
Hell sure. yes, absolutely. Yeah. You can't just go bare chip. Yeah. E-Bar Tex-Mex, which is actually not far from here, North what? Haskell.
Okay.
Is one of the top 10 best nacho spots. The Uno Mas Tex-Mex, which is off Main Street here in Dallas, is also listed.
These are all close.
Well, this is all specifically in the Dallas area.
That's what you said earlier.
Mesomaya. We've got Mia's, which Mia's is a great place. You want a good marg, Mia's, boom. That place is definitely going to hook you up there. That's off Lemon here. Uncle Julio's off of Lemon as well.
Mm. So been to all these places. Love them.
Senor Bean off Olive Street. Urban Taco off of Ross. We've got Salsa Limon off of Ackard Street, and then Campuzano Mexican off of Oak Lawn as well. Finally,
oh, yeah.
Wild Salsa good off stuff. Main Street.
How do you guys feel about all the like vegetables on top of a...
I like it. I like a pico or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Give me some like...
Sour grilled, cream it up too.
Grilled peppers and onions.
Oh, guacamole. Yeah. Sour
yeah,
cream.
I like that. I like yeah. that. Yes. Yeah. yeah.
You know, just loaded up.
Like the loaded nacho. Other than, I guess, like if you would put black olives on a loaded nacho, I don't know if anybody's doing that, but I would say hold the black olives. Otherwise, hit me with all of it. Do green onion, chives.
That
I'll
sounds
take
like
it.
A chalupa. If you're doing, am I right? The chalupa is the round thing with yes. all the stuff on top.
That's a tostada.
Oh, tostada with the black olives. Yeah.
Oh, the chalupa's what's kind a chalupa? Of the shell, I think.
The chalupa's a shell?
Yeah.
The chalupa is like that airy, like fluffier kind of tortilla. It's soft, but it's
got some thickness to it.
Okay. The tostado is the flat one.
Yes.
The big
that's
chip.
The flat.
Yeah, gotcha.
So it sound, if Hurtado's not on here, that's a huge blind spot on this particular local DFW
that
nacho
was, I think
list.
That was,
it's just Dallas specific.
Just, oh, so well,
I don't think we have the Dallas location open yet.
Okay, because they move up to the one seed. I mean, you go from not on the list to the one seed. Everybody is now fighting for second.
As soon as we did Arlington.
Dallas Hurtado doors open.
Are you guys ground beef or the shredded beef?
I prefer the shredded, yeah, but...
You
again,
know, I'm not
going to
fight it.
Both.
I'm not going to fight it. So there we go. Nacho talk. This thing's been fantastic. The text line's going off right now. People love our nachos.
This is the home of the nacho.
It is.
We are.
DFW and Margs.
Texas Rangers.
It's the best.
We've done it up. Okay. Thank you, Woolchuck. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. 5 o'clock hour is coming up. So much is on deck. I've lost my place on my show sheet, boys. What's coming up next?
We'll rim it up. We have the posters out. And we're going to put it on the Twitch.
Oh,
all right.
No! The young man.
The most insane, disrespectful poster in dunking history
Full
will
Jim
be
Brown.
Revealed on the fan cam. And is this really a punishment next in the nation?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. It's a Mavs game night. That game on Channel 29, is that right?
I believe it'll be on 29 tonight.
Yes, it's becoming an adventure to try to find your local sports teams on TV, but good luck to you tonight.
It's a little different.
They are favored, even though they're without three players. It's time now for more on the association with Eric Chiafalo.
The pizza self-loathing is starting to set in now. You know, I was on the highest of highs like 20 minutes ago.
It's okay.
Now you can just feel the blood sugar spike, the inflammation starting to set in, and the numbers going
hurting.
Up on the scale in
Hope
a weight loss competition.
It. I mean, get in there. You can always trade it for another 3 minutes of satisfaction anytime you want, Chief.
That's right. I appreciate the encouragement.
Get in there. You got this.
Boys, let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer. The G-Bag Nation going all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when we get to witness the greatest poster in, I mean, I would say at least a half decade in the sport of basketball. We had the moment. Touching father-son moment, Gonzaga versus Baylor just a couple of nights ago, and Mark Few, head coach of Gonzaga, in garbage time, up 40 or so on Baylor, decided to run his son out there onto the floor, who's 6 feet, a buck 70, and you know they're giving him a couple of inches. And, of course, immediately when he checks into the game, he gets dunked on in a very disrespectful manner. This is how it sounded.
Might blow the roof off this place if Joe Few scores. A steal for Josh Ojanwana.
Gosh.
BJ Edgecombe, my goodness. That's dagger Joe Few.
Poor guy gets in the game. Welcome to the game, Joe. Welcome to the game.
Oh,
that's tough. Yeah. You know what, though? Joe tried.
He did.
Joe tried.
Look at him hanging on for dear life, fearing for his life. The look on his face is that of someone who is literally about to see the light, the forever light there. And the photo is out. The poster is there. I would imagine it is posted all over the campus and dorm rooms of Baylor as Mr. Number 7 put it all over the son of Mark Few, who had no business being in the arena, let alone on the court last night.
No, that might be more disrespectful than all those eligible tackle plays that the Lions ran against the Cowboys a few weeks back.
Yeah. Look at the fear in his eyes.
I think the good news for Joe is it's probably the highest he's ever been on a basketball court is that gentleman's upper leg picked him up and lifted him damn near to the backboard.
So bad.
Yeah, he had to have come away with this with a mild concussion. At the very least, but that right.
I think that's child abuse, actually, for Mark.
It should be, dude. It should be.
It looks like it.
The PTSD, he will never want to set foot on a basketball court ever again, and I won't blame him for it. But
Dad, I just want to play intramurals, man.
Son, get in there. No, Dad.
No, I'm good, Dad.
I'm good.
I'm all right.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's big-time punishment. You see the poster there on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube right now, courtesy of Carter Freeman. Just epic. Carter, you can keep that up there as long as you want, man. Now, you know, speaking of punishments, people are wondering if this is actually a punishment for Joel Embiid, who has now been suspended by the NBA.
I learned something today about shoving
and getting into a bit of an altercation with a columnist over the weekend after the columnist had referenced his late brother and son.
Yeah.
Embiid went ahead and shoved the guy. No punch. Shams was on that from the jump. No punch. Just a good old fashioned shoving. I wish it would have been more mush.
I wanted it to be a mush, like a Juwan Howard face mush
from a couple of years ago.
Well, oh, that was your friend that wrote that article.
Marcus Hayes.
Well, that's your friend?
Marcus Hayes. Yeah, Marcus Hayes. I mean, we've had him on before.
We have?
Yeah, Philadelphia Week, like a couple. Yeah, we've had him
Marcus.
On. Yeah. I didn't know it was him. I saw the story and all of a sudden it was Marcus Hayes. I'm like, I've known Marcus since like 1998.
Embiid being upset about that one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to trigger a soft spot there.
But now he's suspended 3 games, and people are wondering if that's really a punishment for him with the amount of load management and stuff that he likes to do. Would it have been more of a punishment to mandate that he plays 3 games in a row?
Ooh, that's a good thought.
You got to play a back-to-back.
You actually have to play. Sorry, Joel.
You have to customize punishments for the individual, right? You got to know your employees.
Yeah, well, we finally got the Paul George debut, didn't we?
Yes.
I don't think it went well.
No, I don't believe it did. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I don't think it went all that great.
They've started the season so badly, and I can't say I'm surprised.
Yeah. We do have the health concerns of Greg Popovich, I believe, to be...
This is very scary.
Pretty real.
I'm nervous for him.
Yeah, he's out sort of indefinitely at this point. Health issue, serious health issue that the Spurs dealt with and Greg Popovich dealt with over the weekend. And it happened during the pregame on Saturday night. He needed medical attention, and they're still uncertain when he's going to get back onto the floor.
So, sounds like it might be a cardiac event.
Yeah, like a Jim Harbaugh style kind of deal, but he's, I would imagine, considerably older. So
yeah, he's 75 now.
Yeah, I mean, he looks every bit of it. I mean, he does. That is an older dude right there. So hopefully we can get him back and better than ever here, back to the sidelines as quickly as possible. But that's certainly a bummer for Spurs fans and for Greg Popovich. No, they haven't given us any really. I haven't seen any reporting on what exactly is going on, but it could be out for a little while here.
I've been wanting him to shut it down since 1999, but not like this. Not like this, Chief.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. This is not how I drew it up. You also have more bad news for the Milwaukee Bucks, as Chris Middleton still out indefinitely. They're sitting at 1-6 right now. And it doesn't look like Middleton is even close to returning. The noise surrounding Giannis and wanting to be traded is just slowly getting more and more cranked up by the second. And it's only a matter of time before he forces that issue. Can the Mavs get in the mix here? Why not? Why not us?
3 picks.
Why not us?
Derek Lively, PJ Washington, Jaden Hardy.
I think Windhorst is going on that it might be 6-1s.
Six ones?
Six ones.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
I think they could get it.
Yeah, I think they could. I totally think they could.
Yeah, I mean, what did Rudy Gobert go for? Was it five?
Yeah, this is for Giannis. This is a different animal here.
Yeah.
I think somebody would definitely jump at that if they have the ones to give. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, no Middleton coming back. The Bucks are in a world of trouble. You do get the first matchup tonight versus between the Celtics and the Golden State Warriors. This is a big time revenge game for Jason Tatum going up against Steve Kerr, who was the Team USA coach who couldn't get him any minutes. And so
got a medal though.
I'd probably go ahead and hit the more on Prize Picks for Jason Tatum tonight. I think everybody in the building is going to be looking for Tatum to get going in a big way. And it's in Boston. So those Boston fans, Steve Kerr is just going to get four quarters worth of a very derogatory
earplugs.
Yeah,
just put the earplugs in.
Coach with earplugs.
Coach with earplugs.
I've never seen that done before.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's a coward's way out, but I think he's going to get quite the earful all night long from the Celtics fans who are upset that they didn't get to watch Jason Tatum try and actually help contribute to the gold medal.
USA, yeah. USA.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to get nasty out there for Steve, but we'll see. We'll see what the numbers look like. I'd go more on Jason Tatum tonight. We'll check on the old Prize Picks.
I like the more. I'll hit it.
There's your sesh.
Yes, sir. Expressway is coming up at 5:20. We'll take a look at a very, very populated Cowboys injury report, give you the very latest. Again, we are standing by thinking there could be some more updates coming on Dak Prescott's injury situation here before the end of the show. We got 2 hours to go. We're back with an edition of The Finest, right, Eric?
Yeah, we got a couple of football clips, including Mike Zimmer. Is he just over it with at least one of his DBs next?
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.